You may be seated. Here we go through the month of February, 80 degrees, 79 degrees, 76 degrees. We hit March, when it's supposed to be a little bit warmer, 11 degrees, 9 below zero, busted pipes, et cetera, et cetera. Boys and girls, we know today that things change. Amen. We know that seasons change. We know that people change. We know there's all types of changes that come about. It was just this past Monday where you and I noticed very easily, and we noticed by the calendar, that winter turned into spring, but it didn't really feel like it outside. It wasn't so long ago where we witnessed summer and how it turned into fall, then fall into winter, and then we got winter into spring, and here we go. Within the next month or so, Lord willing, we will watch spring turn back into summer. We know that not only do seasons change that we witness so many times, but also the communities in which we live change. Do y'all agree with that? We can see, I remember coming back to this congregation or serving this congregation back in 2014. And I remember driving through and seeing just how awesome this community is. And then here we are just a few years later, some of those older homes are gone and now there's new homes that have been erected. My, how things have changed. We also know that people change. Some of you may find this hard to believe, but years ago, I was a little guy. Years ago, I had dark hair like he's got. Years ago, you know, I had dark hair, real little, small and active. Now I'm a big boy, a little bit of gray hair, and a fat boy, and proud of it. How about that, Stephen? So we all know that people, without a shadow of a doubt, people do change. We change jobs. We change our addresses. We go from one place to another. We try different kinds of food. Some we like, some we don't. We change the type of automobiles that we drive. Some people change a whole lot quicker than others. Many of us go with whatever type dressing trend it is. Maybe the world changes the way they dress and people kind of convey themselves to that and they start dressing the way the trend of the world, and then there's other people that are dressed somewhat conservative. People in the world change quite often, but the news that I have for today, brothers and sisters, is our awesome God, He never changes. Amen? Say that with me. Our awesome God never changes. And that's the good part about what I'm going to share with you today. God doesn't change the rules right in the middle of life. Jerry Jr., when he was a young boy, we'd always play basketball outside. Jerry Jr. lived and breathed basketball, and he would always tell me, Ronnie, he said, Dad, this is how we do this. And he would go to show me, even though he's explained it over and over and over. But any time, Bobby, that he would begin to lose, guess what? The rules would change. He would say, Dad, you can't shoot from that line. I said, Jerry, you picked up about 12 points from that line. But that's different. I'm on this side of the court. Well, I didn't realize the rules have changed. But once again, people change quite often. You see, God designed for things to change. Do you agree with that? If you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you like to go with me, go ahead. I'm going to engage the congregation in on this, so you might want to be ready for that. We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We're going to share 8 verses together. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, found in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at 8 verses together, showing us that God designed the seasons of life. I like to think about what the Scripture says regarding these changes. For all that know me and know me well knows that I really don't like change. Chris, I really don't. We bought our house 32 years ago. We have different furniture because Paula threatened to burn it if we didn't. So we did get different furniture, but I promise you, if you walk into our front door, the sofa is still straight ahead. The love seat is right here. The big screen television is right there. I like everything staying the same. I've been married for 43 years. You know I don't like changes. So the reality is we've got to be ready for change, though, don't we? Because seasons of life do change, and we need to be aware of that. God designed our life to change. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, 1 through 8, everybody ready? Is everybody ready? The Bible says, to everything there is a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to break down and a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather what? A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and then there's a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Does that sound pretty familiar, brothers and sisters? We know now that no matter what, we are going to face changes. Amen? Changes, some of those changes are comfortable, some are not so comfortable. But God intended for there to be change in this life. Absolutely, there are changes. But I want us to take comfort today, brothers and sisters, in the fact and the promise that God gives each and every one of us that He never changes. God does not change the rules in the middle of life. Amen, Darlene? He does not do that. I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, He is the same loving God today as He was in the very beginning of time. He is the same God of mercy today as He was in the beginning of time. He's the same God of grace, the same God of patience. He's the same God of understanding as He was in the very, very beginning of time. But He's also the same God that will not tolerate being ignored or disrespected. Is that fair? God will not tolerate you and me ignoring His commandments or disrespecting what God has said. He will not allow that. I'm thankful today that our God above, that He showed us and He's demonstrated His love to us. These two passages of Scripture, I do them, try to do them every single sermon that I preach from this pulpit. It's found over in John chapter 3, verse 16. For those of you that don't have a Bible, it's right here and it's right here. Come on, congregation, are y'all ready? For God so loved the that He gave His, that whosoever should not, but what will they have? Everlasting life. In the book of Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, finish it up. All right, then over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth the Son, you shall call His name Jesus, and He will save from their what? From their sins. However, eternal life that we talk about quite often, and we should be talking about that, I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, some of these preachers have been lying to you and lying to you for years. There are preachers today that will tell you eternal life is freely given. Show me that in the Scripture. There are people today that says, oh, salvation is free to all who want it. Show me that in the Scripture. There is nothing about the death of Jesus Christ on that cross free. Amen? It's Jesus who gave His life upon that cruel cross at Calvary. It was Jesus, your Jesus and my Jesus, that was beaten. He was mocked. He was put on that cruel cross at Calvary. He was tied up to that cross. He had nails pierced through His hands and His feet. You think that's free? Absolutely not. So salvation cost God His only begotten Son. Salvation cost Jesus His life. Say that if you believe it. Say it with an amen. So understand today, eternal life is absolutely not free. If you want life and you want life everlasting with God in heaven, then we must do what God's calling us to do. Sadly, there are people in our world today that just haven't been taught right. I'm not going to beat up other preachers, other teachers in the way that you see what the Scripture says. I'm just telling you what I know what God says. There are people today that will hang out in the book of Romans chapter 10. Do you know that, Larry? There are people today that will take this one particular verse and they'll apply it to their whole life. And that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of God. Amen? So we have to keep the Bible and keep the passages in context. If I take a look at this passage in Romans 10, verse 13, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, finish it up. But that's not all it is. But there are people in my own family, some of our friends in the religious sense as well, will say, that's all you have to do because the Bible says all you got to do is just say, Lord, come into my heart. There are people today that call it the sinner's prayer. I promise you, I've read the Bible through several times. I'm still learning as much as anybody else is learning. But I've never seen the sinner's prayer in here. Lord, come into my heart, be my Savior, and we believe you got saved. I just haven't seen that in the Bible. But some would say, well, then, Jerry, how do we handle Romans 10, 13? So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saying it's not true? I'm telling you it's very true. If you call upon the name of God, you will be saved. Here's what we have to deal with. Are you ready? In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21, the Bible says, not everyone. Are you listening to me? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, you see, brothers and sisters, it is much more than a simple utterance. It's much more than just me verbally saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Now I'm saved and I'm heaven bound. That's a bunch of baloney. Somebody's teaching you wrong. They're going to be held accountable and your soul's at stake for that. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Larry, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord's going to be saved. Well, then what do we do now? We rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? We do what God's word is calling us to do. Well, Jerry, that can be very confusing. That's why we are to study the Bible. Say it with me. That's why we are to study the Bible. Don't go by what I say. Don't go by what Chris says or Jerry says or Stephen says or Heather says. You go by what God says. Amen? And the Lord tells us, I'm going to share it with you at the very end of the lesson, on how we become a Christian according to the Scripture. So thank you, God above, for allowing us today an opportunity to make things right in you and to live, God, according to your wishes and to live according to the Scriptures that we have so readily available in front of us. I want us all to remember this. You will change. I will change. We will change. The seasons will change. People will change. But our awesome God, He'll never change. God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. God is with us always. Great is God's faithfulness. So I want to take a look at a lesson from the Bible regarding our awesome God who always stays the same and never leaves us. Listen, I want to share this with you before we get wound up in our points. We got about three things I want to consider this morning as we talk about our awesome God is always the same. I guarantee you, every single accountable human being that is in this room right here have some difficulties in life. Is that fair to say? Every single one of us. I don't care if you're the preacher, a song leader. I don't care if you're a member, an active member, non-active, whatever you are. Every single breathing, accountable human being has something that we're struggling with right now. Does that make sense? I know I do. I stand before the congregation all the time saying, guess what? Preacher boy needs prayers again. I acted horrible last week, said some things I shouldn't have said, did some things I'm not proud of, but also know that I've got a God, an unwavering God, that says, Jerry, you can't disrespect me. You can't just, you know, profess your love for me on Sunday and live like you want to live during the week. I know that don't work. I'm nowhere near where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? So that's what we have to do. We have to be sure that we're growing every day and getting closer to this unchanging God. He's not going to change the rules, Tara. Do you agree with that? He's not going to change the rule, so we got to keep going. But we all face difficulties. We face sicknesses. We face loss of loved ones, which rips our heart out. We have financial setbacks that we all face from time to time. Job losses, where there's a job change. You know, 24 years on the job, your boss walks in and says, hey, it's over today. Bam! That took care of that, didn't it? We walk out of the place feeling numb, and then we have the questions. What are we going to do now? Anybody relate to that? And then we have repossessions. Never forget the day when Paul and I lived at 3822 Faulkner Avenue. I shared this with you before. We lived out near Antioch. Jerry Jr. is a little bitty guy. He comes in and goes, hey, Dad, what's wrong with our car? And I said, well, Jerry, nothing wrong with the car. He said, well, why is it on back of a wrecker? I'm like, I think they liked it better than we did. I gave it to them. Fingers crossed in line, wasn't a Jerry. But we've all faced difficulties and we've all faced these challenges that we're not really proud of, but sometimes there just wasn't really anything we could do about it. We also know that not only job loss setbacks, financial setbacks, marriage problems, relationship problems, etc., but also how about the betrayal of that friend? The one person that you knew without a shadow of a doubt that you could count on. The person that you could confide in. The person you could share anything and everything with, and then lo and behold, he or she betrayed you. Anybody been there? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all lying because some of y'all just going, are you the betrayer or have you been betrayed? So the reality is we know that these difficulties come up. I'll assure you that no one, as I said a while ago, assembled here is exempt from trouble. However, there are many here today, and this is the good part about this, brothers and sisters, that have a solid firm relationship with God. And because of that, you can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 37, Teresa, tells us, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that what? Loved us. So no matter how dark things may become or seem to get, or how depressed things may get in one's life, or how hopeless our circumstances may be, or maybe even how great and good things are, rest assured that our God above never changes. Our God truly understands. And He knows you, and He knows me. He knows us inside and out. So let's take a look at just about three things we can consider, and then this lesson will belong to you. The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. I want every one of us to know, without a doubt, folks, listen to me, God will be faithful to all of His children because that's His nature. What do I mean by that? We're called to be faithful to Him. I'm telling you, Ronnie, that God will hold on to His promises, won't He? Stephen, I want you to know that He's going to hold on to His promises. Sis, you better remember that whatever God promises, He will deliver. Amen? So I want us to know that the reason He does that, David, is because that's His nature, isn't it? That is the very nature of God to love you and to love me. Listen, it is the very nature of God to love His children and to never forsake us. And I'm a firm believer in that. I appreciate so much what Moses was talking about there in the book of Deuteronomy, found in the Old Testament as well. Deuteronomy chapter 32, down around verse 4. The Bible says He is the rock. The Bible says His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright, the Bible says, is He. What does that tell us? The Bible's telling us this is who we can trust in. This is that friend that'll never let you down. This is that friend that will not betray you. This is that friend you can confide in. This is that friend you can trust. This is that friend who loves you so much that Jesus laid down His own life for you and for me. You believe that? Confirm that with an amen. Not everybody believes it. Who doesn't believe it? Confirm it with an amen if you believe it. Okay, I just didn't want to have to start all over and you get hungry later. We can also consider what the Hebrew writer says about this regarding the Lord being with us and never, ever forsaking His people. It's very comforting. It's very comforting to have that promise from the Lord Himself that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Is everybody ready to go to Hebrew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6? All found? The Bible says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, not talking about this He, the Hebrew writer is referring to Jesus, isn't He? All right, for Jesus said, I will never leave you nor what? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my, I will not what man can do to, there it is. Are you getting it? So we don't have to worry. Oh, do we have problems? Yes. Am I minimizing those? No. But no matter who may be against us, no matter what may be against us, my God, your God, our God is much stronger, isn't He? God, our God, is a deliverer. He will take care of us. Jesus Himself also promised His disciples, as He gave them the great commission, to go out and to preach the gospel. He says, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them is what He said. And then after that, He said, teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And He goes, listen, He says, lo, I'll be with you always, even to when? Very good. Even to the end of age. God loves you and God loves me. Say that with me. God loves you and God loves me. Just because things are tough right now, just because things are difficult, just because things aren't going our way does not mean that God has left us. Folks, listen to me. If you are away from Jesus Christ today, I promise you, it's you are the one that walked away from Him. God did not walk away from you. Jesus did not turn His back on you. Jesus opens a door. He stands there and He says, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden. And Jesus says, and I will give you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your what? So if you don't feel God in your life, you are the one that walked away. If you don't feel like you have a relationship with Jesus, you are the one that walked away. Don't you blame my Jesus for that. Are we getting there? You don't talk about Jesus that I love. You don't talk about the Jesus that gave his life for me and for you and say this is his fault. If you are numb in life, you are dumb to Jesus Christ. I don't use that word dumb in the meaning of not being able to hear, but you become numb and dumb in your walk with Christ. Are we together or not? So I want to make sure today that you understand that God does not change. He has not changed. The rules are the same today as they were in the very beginning of time. Do I get an amen or not? Our God is faithful in promising salvation for all who are faithfully obedient unto him. Revelation chapter 2 down in verse 10, the Bible says, you're going to be tested for a while. I think he uses the words 10 days. He says, but be faithful unto death and I give you the crown of life. I'm going to give you a home in heaven with him. So I want you to remember as we close out point one, God will be faithful and he is faithful to all of his children because that's his very nature. Yes or no? Second point is this, our unchanging God knows all about our situation, and he won't leave us alone in that. Does that sound good? He knows about our situation, and he will not leave us alone in that. In whatever trials we're facing, whatever storms of life we are in the midst of, God knows about our struggles. He knows about our difficulties, and he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get my attention. Sometimes these storms of life will redirect us. Does that make sense? When I face adversity over here, if I'm coming up against an obstacle, Jerry, and I'm facing adversity, I'm like water. I flow with the least resistance. Okay? So if I'm facing adversity, guess what, David? I'm going to go around. You make sense? God wants us to do that. If we got Satan right there in front of us and he's trying to derail our life, Teresa, go around him. Kick him in the face. Amen? Just say, hey, I have no room for you, Satan, in my life. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my life. Get out of my home. Get away from my job. Stay away from my children. Get away from me, Satan. Amen. Say that with me. Get away from me, Satan. You know why? See, it's because I got a God who doesn't change. The rules are the same. This same God, Larry says, be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. So why would we ever derail that? Our God is awesome. He'll never leave us alone. You are not the only one in the world, brothers and sisters, I promise. Just going through many storms in life. There's not a person assembled in this building right now that's not going through something that's heavy on their heart. Even King David in the early years. Anybody ever heard of David, King David? You see, New Testament or Old? Yeah, all right, whatever. And so King David in the early years, was he facing difficulties and storms in his life? And yet, was he able to overcome? Because David had his faith in God or the devil? God. And he had faith not in himself, but in who? In God. So I think we ought to go back to the book of Psalm. Let's take a look and see what's happening. The book of Psalm 139. Y'all want to go with me verses 1 through 5? Everybody want to go? Let's do it. Lord, you have searched me and you what? Nope. Go back to Psalm 139. We're in verse 1. Only a few participated. You want to get through today? All right, let's go with me then. Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, you have searched me and you... Yeah, that sounds better. Much better. You know my sitting down and also my what? You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And I love this. And are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. Listen to me. But behold, O Lord, you know it. What does the Bible say? All together. Verse 5, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. What does that tell us? God knows every single thing about us, doesn't he? How much can we hide from God? What if I put it in the hall closet behind the 38 special that's up there? You think God will find that? What if I hide it in Paula's shoe closet that I'm not allowed to open? You hear that? Shoe closet. I walked in. We had a plumbing issue. I don't know why I'm getting on this, but I got to. So we had a plumbing issue. Everybody knows about that because I complained for a year about it. I should call Ronnie. But anyway, had a little plumbing problem. So the plumber gets there and says, hey, we probably need to get into, seriously, said we need to get into this closet because that's where it's coming up behind the shower. I said, hey, that is no problem at all. Let me get a bag. Well, the plumber goes, yes. You're going to need a truck. I've never seen thousands of shoes, it seems like. And we moved them, and we moved them, and we moved them, and we moved them. And I'm like, But I did find about 90 cents in change that she dropped anywhere. I don't know why I got on that. But anyway, I cannot tell you why I even went there. The reality is, God understands everything. We can hide shoes in the closet. We can hide things in the closet. We can put stuff in under the mattress. We can hide stuff in our safety deposit box. But you're not going to hide that sin from God. Amen? He knows what you're about. He knows what I'm about. And let's be sure that we are just being ambassadors of Christ, that we are representing Jesus Christ. I heard in my neighborhood where I live, it's kind of a rough area, and I had this kid the other day at the mailbox, and I said, man, I said, get your dog on the other side of the road. And he looked around at me, and he goes, dude, you better recognize. And I thought, what does that mean? So I said, hey, if you don't mind me asking, what does that mean? He says, you better recognize yourself. And I went, well, I'm Jerry. And he goes, you better recognize. He kept walking. So my neighbor says, you better run there and apologize because your house will be burned down in the morning. So I told him, I said, you know, I'm just kidding, right, dude? Oh, yeah, man. He did some kind of like fist things and elbows, and I have no clue what that is. But now we're cool. And anyway, so God knows us ultimately, yes or no? He knows us intimately as well. He knows us and He loves us. So listen to me. Please let God guide you through these difficult times that you're facing. Let God be your pilot and you be His co-pilot. Not the way that bumper sticker says where God is my co-pilot. You let God be the pilot and you be His co-pilot. Can I get an amen out of that? Third and final point, this lesson's finished. Here's what I want to tell you before we close. God will meet all of your needs, and He will equip you for every phase of your life. Do you believe it? Sometimes I go, God, where are you? Sometimes when I'm faced with adversity and I'm faced with these difficulties, you know, when I received my second diagnosis, now, Jerry, you got two things of cancer instead of one, I'm like, I don't know what to do next. Tears in my eyes, I can't hardly think. I'm knots in my throat, I don't know what to do. You know, the doctor's saying you got 18 months to live, and another one saying I got 6 months to live. Thank God it's been 5 years, amen. I'm thankful for that. But I have to go back, and I'm thinking, what do I do now? How am I going to handle this? And what am I going to do? And how am I going to make sure my family? And what am I going to do next? Well, then I got to thinking that's where I'm in trouble because I had the I, my disease. Everything was I, my. But then when I discovered I can't do squat about this, but God can. There's nothing I can do about it. So what I have to do is I'm going to dry the tears up. I'm going to try to get the knot out of my throat. Sometimes I still break down a little bit, but that's okay. I'm a wimp. But I have to give it to God because my God is big, man. And we can be more than conquerors through Him. Amen? So no matter what we're up against, maybe it's a health issue. David, you and me both, and Ronnie, you've been there too, and the little ones have been through. We've all, Tika, we've got people in here. Ma, see, I mean, we just got it. Velma, she's been through it right now, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Calvin's got it. But you know what? As difficult as it is, look where we're at today. We are sitting in the house of the Lord. Amen? And we are making melody in our heart. We're listening to God's word being presented. You know, I just love it. I love what God's done for me. Say that. I love what God has done for me. He will provide your needs, and He will give us what we need. You know what? He's not going to give us necessarily what we want, is He? I would like to have a new truck like Sis has got, that gray one, but she's already informed me. That's my brother's when I get rid of it. Whatever. And so I would like to give some different things, but that's maybe not what God wants me to have. Let me say this. God will only, seriously, listen real closely. Make sure everybody listen. God will only give you what you can handle. Does that make sense? He ain't going to give you nothing more because He knows you'll blow it. You'll mess it up. That's why He don't give me much. He has to give everything to Paula. God will only give us what we can handle. Does that make sense? So, but I want you to know, Chris, He will give us what we need, but there's a condition. There is a condition of this. We got to put Jesus first. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and His, and all of these things shall be. Who said that? Jesus Christ said it, didn't He? God said it through His Son, didn't He? Yes or no? Luke 9, down in verse 23, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says, if you have a desire to follow me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his how often, and then do what? Follow me. So you see, there are some things we have to do. We've got to be willing to put Jesus first. We want Him to provide for us in every phase of life. We've got to be willing to take up that cross. Tara, sometimes that cross is too heavy for me to bear. I can't do it. The things that Jesus, Teresa, is asking me to do, sometimes it's too heavy. David, sometimes it's just too heavy. I don't know that I can do that. But then I have to remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very good. So we can do this. If we look back in the book of Psalm, I'm getting ready to close, I promise. Psalm 119, I want us to look at something. 105 through 112. Everybody there? When we look back at that passage of Scripture, we can see where God provides His followers with His Word, and His Word guides us throughout life. I love what David is talking about here, this great psalm. It says, your Word, talking about the Scripture, is a lamp unto my what? Feet. Mm-hmm. It's a light unto my what? I have sworn, the Bible says, and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Receive me, O Lord, according to your word. Except, I pray, the free will offering of my youth. I could keep going. Let me go on to 112, like we said. Except, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgment. My life is continually in my hand. Yet I do not forget the wicked. Watch this. Have laid a snare before me. Yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. For they are rejoicing of my heart. Look at verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the what? Indeed, God will provide for us. He will supply everything you and I need if we are serious about following Him. Not just a wind of controversy, not just a wind of change, not just a storm of life, but when we are heartfelt, driven to follow Jesus Christ, He'll give us what we need. Amen? Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, and my God, watch this, shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. He's going to provide that by Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for always being there. If there's a separation today between you and God, let me tell you this once again. You walked away. We know that we have an awesome God. We've got a God that loves us and a God that gave His Son Jesus for us. He sent His Son to die upon the old rugged cross for you and for me. Our God is always the same. God will be and is faithful to us and will be until we have no breath left. God knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows your desires. So it's down to this. Is it your desire to go to heaven? If it is, confirm it with an amen. If you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian today, in your current state of affairs, in your current state with God, in your current walk, you're not going to get there. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Say it like you mean it. Except through me. See, you have to go through Jesus to get to heaven. Everybody agree? So today, let me tell you how to do that. Let me tell you how to become a Christian. First thing you got to do is you got to desire it. If I don't really have the desire to go to heaven, let's use good grammar. I ain't going. Period. I ain't going to go eat Chinese food. I have no desire to eat Chinese food. I ain't going. But I will go there because that one place has, you know, things I like, pizza and stuff like that. But you got to have a desire to go to heaven, yes or no. Then I need to what God's word. I got to hear it. The only way, Ronnie, that I can be taught is I got to hear it, don't I? And I need the truth to be told. I don't need what this preacher thinks, what that preacher thinks, this group says. I want to hear what God says, so I'm going to study it. So I have to hear God's word, and then upon hearing it, I have to what? Believe it. There we go. I've got to believe. Got to believe that Jesus Christ died for me. Got to believe that Jesus Christ left heaven, come to this earth, set an example that I should follow His steps unto salvation. You remember, He says, it's through me that you have this life. Then the Bible tells me in Luke 13:3 and also in verse 5, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise. That word repent means change your life. That means it's time, Jerry Ladd, give up the Jerry Ladd way and put on the only way. Amen? Put on God's way. And then when I repent of my sins, I'm to make a confession. Well, I don't like doing that. I'm not Catholic. I didn't say you were. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 10:32-33, if you confess me before men, I'll be faithful and just to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Is that what the Bible says? Mm-hmm. Upon that confession of faith, the Bible says we are to be baptized. There are some that don't believe that baptism is essential to salvation. I wouldn't dare argue with you. All I'll tell you is every single act of conversion from Matthew to Revelation has baptism associated with it. Some of those I got a little confused about because I was raised in a denominational church, and that's why I'm not sure about that, man. I'm not sure about that. But then I found something. If you have a car in your driveway, probably one of the main components of that car is the engine, right? And no matter how pretty that car is, if you don't have the engine, it's not going anywhere, right? That's namely the engine. Yes, say that with me. Namely, in 1 Peter 3:21, here's what the Bible says. There is an antitype which now saves us. You ready? Namely, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, namely, baptism. If we go back, listen to me, if we go back to the very first sermon that was ever preached, that's found in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching to those who have crucified Jesus. They said, man, we done messed up. I'm paraphrasing. We done messed this up. Now what do we do? He says, let every one of you repent and be what? Baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When he set his disciples out in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, over in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, he says, Lord says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who believes not, the Bible says, shall be condemned. I don't go by what Aunt Myrtle Dean says. I don't go by what Uncle Festus says or Clarence says. I go by what my God says. Amen? So today, I'm telling you, according to Scripture, you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. A ceremonial act ain't no good. You can't be just walk up here and get baptized and be saved. That don't work either. Baptism alone does not save. Amen? It's living an obedient life from this moment on. Upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and to live a faithful life unto and into your death. Revelation 2:10, are we together so far? And then always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. You got a responsibility to other people as well. Don't be selfish. Don't be stingy. Share the gospel with everyone, including your enemies. Maybe today you're a Christian, but you've wandered from the fold of safety. You're not where you need to be. You know that you're not walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Today's the day. Today is the day that needs to be made right. Don't you leave the building uncertain about your walk with Christ. Don't leave the building without in your mind, I wonder if I die today if I'm going to heaven. You've heard many sermons before, man. You'll probably hear some more after, man. But I'm telling you today, don't put God off. We don't know the time, the moment, the hour that Christ is going to return, and we don't know when our life is going to end. Amen? But we do know that when this life ends, if you're a Christian, your journey just begins. Amen? We'll have that home in heaven. Why not make things right today? If you're a Christian, you wander from the fold of safety, let this congregation pray with you, for you, encourage you, help you any way that we can. If you need anything at all, you can come right now as together we stand and we sing.